House Democrats formally launched impeachment proceedings against U.S. President Donald Trump, who Democrats accuse of using his office to seek Ukraine's help to smear his political opponent, former Vice President Joe Biden. The decision on Tuesday marks a stunning reversal for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who for months was reluctant to endorse impeachment, saying it could be politically risky as the 2020 election nears. The move comes after a whistleblower from within the U.S. intelligence community lodged a complaint with an internal watchdog in which he allegedly pressured Zelensky to investigate the Democratic presidential frontrunner and his son.
Walmart is expanding a program where employees can earn a health care degree for a dollar a day as it makes a bigger push into the fast-growing health and wellness market. The mega retailer's 1.5 million U.S. workers will now be able to pursue bachelor's degrees and diplomas in the healthcare field.
We have a very segmented airline, but at the same time, we live in the largest business markets. But overall, our data is strong. Our bookings are strong. Our yields are strong. Our operational things are strong. Our plan is solid. I know we try to use the R word a lot, and it's a big conversation in many places. And I know we often say, let's not talk ourselves into it. Okay. Again, we watch the data, and it's so critical to us, because if we don't get it right and adjust our schedules accordingly, our bottom line does get impacted.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Wednesday. It's September 25th. It's 5:11 in the morning. Thank you for tuning in for another edition of The Opening Bell. We've got another business day getting underway here. Lots going on this morning. We'll try to get to as much of it as possible during the program today. We're also going to focus in on a couple of areas that impact you directly. For instance, The construction project on the Blue Line, the CTA Blue Line out to O'Hare, is going to get underway soon. That's going to cause all kinds of headaches. Mary Wisniewski, Getting Around reporter, transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune, will be with us first up this morning. We'll bring in Mary momentarily. Lots of other transportation-related issues going on as well that we'll talk to Mary about this morning. A little bit later in the program, it's our Building Business Around Town segment. Bennett Wakenight will visit with Joe Block, who's the president and CEO of Block Steel Corporation, and we'll do that at about 5:38 this morning. Of course, we'll also keep you posted on all the latest news, weather, sports, and traffic moving forward as well. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. A little weakness in the markets this morning. Dow futures are off nearly 45 points this morning, about 0.25%. Same story, really, for S&P and NASDAQ futures as well. NASDAQ futures are off nearly a third. All of the markets in Asia in the red today, in Japan lower by about a third, in Hong Kong off nearly 1.25%, in Shanghai off nearly 0.5%, in Europe lots of red as well, in London the FTSE is off nearly 1%, down 66 points, in Germany the DAX is off 145 points, nearly 0.5% as well, and in France off nearly 0.5%. There, and oil in the United States is trading at about $56.60 a barrel. Some stories as we begin this morning. You heard there in the opening montage at the end, the CEO of United Airlines, Oscar Munoz, speaking with CNBC yesterday, talking about a number of things. Still no firm date on getting 737 MAX back in the sky. Munoz also said that United Airlines has started encouraging its staff to hold planes for connecting passengers, even if it means the flights will depart a few minutes later than scheduled. Munoz says some of those on-time departure scores be damned, in his words. We don't care, he told CNBC. We have saved tens of thousands of connections, and they will keep doing that going forward. In February, United started testing a new program called Connection Saver, which sifts through flights for passengers with tight connections, factoring in the time it takes for late arriving connecting passengers to make the next gate. Also this morning on the news on the China front, China has urged President Trump to oppose bullying following the American leader's criticism of trade status in a speech at the United Nations. A foreign ministry spokesman this morning calling on President Trump to meet China halfway in settling trade disputes. Yesterday, the president complained that the World Trade Organization improperly gives China preferential treatment. Chinese spokesperson expressed hope that Washington will listen to developing countries' calls for rapid development, opposition to bullying and suppression, aspirations of for peace and stability. He says the Trump administration should work with China to resolve disputes and expand cooperation on the basis of mutual benefit. Some news this morning involving Chicago-based McDonald's. Starting today, anyone applying for a job at McDonald's can do so using Amazon's Alexa or Google Assistant. If users, for instance, say, "Alexa, get me a job at McDonald's," Alexa will ask which country they want to work in and play the McDonald's catchy "I'm loving it" jingle. After that, users can share their phone number and get a link to contribute to continue the application process. Alexa also shares some facts about working for the company, such as how a job there can lead to jobs in other fields. Let's begin front and center this morning with some transportation issues that you need to be concerned about and need to know about. Lots of them happening around the city. Mary Wisniewski, a transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune, is on with us this morning. Mary, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Good morning.
So the Blue Line, if you take the Blue Line out to O'Hare, this is going to start impacting you pretty soon, probably within the next week or so, isn't it?
That's right. It's going to be on Friday, actually, and the CTA is going to suspend service between O'Hare and Rosemont stations for 9 days. And this, of course, Rosemont is the station right before you get to O'Hare, so this is going to impact anybody going in or out of O'Hare.
So what's going to happen, Mary? Do we get off the train and we'll take a bus shuttle, or
You have to get off and you have to take a bus. If if you're going to O'Hare, you have to get off at Rosemont. If you're going from O'Hare, at O'Hare, you have to go to the bus shuttle center, which is above the O'Hare Blue Line station. So you'll be directed up there. And the CTA is warning customers that they should allow an extra 20 to 30 minutes of travel time and to prepare, and then even a little longer during late evening and overnight hours. The bus shuttle buses are free. They're going to be every 3 to 5 minutes, so there's going to be a lot of them, but you should prepare some extra time. This is to allow the CTA to make improvements in their signal system.
When I heard that this bus thing was going to be in effect, I immediately kind of pit in my stomach. I think anybody who's been on CTA when there's been some sort of incident and they have to switch to a bus shuttle knows that that doesn't necessarily happen as smoothly as everyone would like. And sometimes it really takes more than 20 to 30 minutes out of your trip. Is this a 20 to 30 minute estimate on the part of CTA hopeful?
I think that it's most likely accurate, because if they they've been doing this at several different areas along the line as they make improvements to the Blue Line system. It's a Your New Blue program they've been spending money on, and so I think that they've gotten used to doing this, and so I think that 20 to 30 minutes is a pretty good indicator, since the CTA has gotten a lot of practice in doing this bus shuttle service.
Yeah, you mentioned that this is going to be a replacement of the upgrade of the 40-year-old signal system. 9 days is the estimate for this to be in effect.
Right, so between September 27th and October 7th, and even though there's going to be some extra time involved, I know that I'm pretty frugal when it comes to my travel, so if I was traveling at this time, I'd still be taking the CTA to O'Hare, because it's $5 coming back, $2.50 going, and that's a lot cheaper than taking a cab or taking rideshare.
Yeah, I think the most important thing, again, is just build that time into your travel.
That's right.
That's going to be the big thing, especially if you aren't sure about the flight necessarily, having some flight delays, if there's a weather issue as well. Mary,
right.
wanted to talk to you about another one of the stories, too, that you've been reporting on. This Navy Pier flyover for people who ride their bicycles is back open.
That's
again.
Right. Right. Well, it's a section of it. It's the section that goes from Ohio Beach and then over Grandin, Illinois, and then down again when you get to the Lakeshore Drive Bridge. It had been open for a little bit, and it was really fun, and people were enjoying it, and then they had to close it because they had to connect the new piece to the piece that's being built now, and so it was shut down for about 3 weeks, and now that's open again. But the city is still working on the second and third phases of the flyover, which last we heard was going to be open by the end of the year, but we'll see. This has been a project that's been a long time in the making.
Yeah, it is. I said when I went by yesterday, I made sure I did a really good look at it. They are working on that one part of it. So what's the part that's left there? Is that the part that's going to sort of bring it down to the ground, or take it further around the corner?
It's going to take it across the Lakeshore Drive Bridge. So it's going to go south of that bridge, and it's good. That's the most complicated part of the project, because what they're going to do is it's going to be like a cantilever on the side of the bridge. And it's going to have to go through those two 1930s bridge houses. They're going to have to cut right through there. And so it's a pretty neat project, but it's taken, they started on this in 2014. So this is taking longer than, the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco or the Eiffel Tower. So it's a long time coming. But once it's done, it's going to really it's going to create a nice path for cyclists and pedestrians. For a long time, people have had to go down at Grand and Illinois Streets, which is a pretty dangerous place to cross.
$64 million was that project cost. Is that still going to be the cost of it?
For now, that's the cost. It's a cost that has gone up. And one of the reasons that the city is given for why this has taken so long is because that Lakeshore Drive Bridge, which is a double-decker bridge built in 1937, the repairs to that were more complicated than they imagined that they were going to be. And so that's why the cost has gone up, and that's why the time has gone up.
Mary, the Union Station parking garage is closing.
That's right, and that's because this is a 700-space garage that is popular for people who are getting on an Amtrak train, maybe having business in Union Station or in that part of the loop, and it's closing because they're putting up a brand-new office tower there. It's going to be the BMO tower, going to be about 50 stories, and it's also going to cause an awful lot of new foot traffic in the loop, and when you put that together with what's going on with the old post office, with the new offices that are going in there, I think it's going to be an interesting situation for pedestrians and cars going forward.
Yeah, I think the big question, too, is where will people park now? I'm sure there's another garage there nearby, but I can't think of it right off the top of my head.
Well, there's four different garages within the two blocks of that station, so there are alternatives for people. This was a fairly low-rate one, though, so that was a bit of an advantage. The Amtrak recommends that because there's not a lot of on-street parking around there, that if you can, take public transit or take cabs or take rideshare if you're going to get on an Amtrak or on a Metro train there.
Yeah, when you say low-rate, it wasn't necessarily an ugly or downtrodden parking. It was cheap. You get to park there cheap.
Yeah, exactly. So, but, these things there's a lot going on right now in the Southwest Loop, and this is going to be a great big project. And that area, the loop has always been a little sleepy, and it's going to start waking up.
Chicago is issuing fewer tickets to people on bicycles, in some neighborhoods at least. What has your reporting found on this story?
Sure. What we found is that in 2016, there were about a little over 2,000 bike tickets. I'm sorry, 2018, there were a little over 2,000 bike tickets issued. And that's a big drop from more than 4,000 in 2016. And so far this year, the first 6 months of this year, there were fewer than 600. So there's been big drops. And what we found, I've been doing this story for a few years now, is that most of the tickets are still going to low-income neighborhoods that are primarily African-American. And that pattern has continued, but there has been this big drop, which suggests that police are pulling back on the practice of using bike citations as a way to fight other crimes. The police have said in the past that some violent districts use vehicle stops, like bike stops, as a way to check for arrests, check for drugs and for guns and for other matters. And this big drop suggests that they're not doing that so much. And this is a practice that has been criticized a lot by community activists and by bike activists.
Yeah, Active Transportation Alliance just said outright that this appears racist and discriminatory.
Right. The issue is that there's one of the reasons that I started pulling these numbers in the first place when I started back in 2017 was that people from north side communities, from white communities, were saying, hey, there's all these rogue bicyclists out here running red lights and riding on the sidewalk. How come there are never any bike tickets? And so I thought that was a good question, and I looked up the bike tickets and found that there were quite a lot of bike tickets, but they weren't in the neighborhoods where the complaints were coming from. They were in these other neighborhoods. And in these other neighborhoods, there's often not a lot of bike infrastructure. So people may be riding on the sidewalk, which is the cause of most of the tickets, because they're afraid to ride on the street.
All right, Mary, we covered a lot of ground this morning. We appreciate it. I think we're going to be getting around a little easier now, thanks to you.
Okay, thank you so much, Steve.
Mary Wisniewski, transportation reporter at the Chicago Tribune. You can read her latest work at chicagotribune.com.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. It is Wednesday here on The Opening Bell. We turn our attention now to our monthly Building Business Around Town segment, sponsored by Associated Bank. Bennett Wakenight traveled to Skokie to meet with Joe Block of Block Steel Corporation.
I'm Bennett Wakenight with WGN Radio, and this is Building Business Around Town, brought to you by Associated Bank. And we're here at Block Steel Corporation, and this is Joe Block, President and CEO of Block Steel Corporation. Joe, thank you so much for having us here today.
Well, thanks for coming, Bennett. We're very proud of our operation.
Well, it's quite an operation, as you can see looking around and seeing it firsthand. We're surrounded by these wheels of steel and But it's not just steel that you guys specialize in. You specialize in aluminized steel.
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about what that is exactly.
We're the largest independent distributor of aluminized steel in North America, if not possibly in the world. Aluminized steel is an aluminum alloy coated sheet steel. The aluminum alloy consists of about 93% aluminum and the balance of that being silicon and some trace metals. That steel is used in applications where you need a combination of heat reflectivity and corrosion resistance. But we warehouse and store the material and then process the coils we would get from the mills, and we would then sell that, process it in either smaller coils or into blanks or to sheets to manufacturers who would put that material directly into production.
What are some of the everyday products that we might see this aluminized steel used in?
Aluminized steel is used commonly in automotive applications, so it'd be used in shielding in automobiles, small appliances like toasters possibly, ranges would use aluminized steel, many type of barbecue applications. So a lot of barbecues, especially gas-fired barbecues, will have a lot of aluminized parts.
So it's quite an operation that you have set up here at the Block Steel Corporation, and you guys have been doing this for a while, founded right around 1948. But give us an idea as to what goes into managing such an operation like this.
We have been sort of set up so that we work with what's called just-in-time inventory. And we work with most of our customers are able to give us schedules that tell what material they need and when they need it. We then work off that replenishment schedule so that we then produce new material to fill into the supply chain when they've pulled material out of here. We do that, we've kind of got that a little bit down to a science. And almost 72 years of experience, it's just something we've kind of learned how to do and all our personnel have learned how to do. To be honest with you, it's not so much of a science as it really is a little bit of an art and a combination of the actual data you get from your customers, but also in a way trying to interpret what you have at historical trends and understanding what your customers are going to need. But over the years, we have geographically spread ourselves by putting our steel in facilities that are geographically located to our customer base. We've done that by using contract facilities around the country and by placing inventory at strategic locations. That's allowed us to kind of have the national breadth that we need and still service our customers on a, you know, national basis.
And the Midwest is a real big manufacturing hub. It's one of the roots of the industry here. But there's also a lot of competition, I imagine. So give us an idea, or touch on it, if you will, the kind of competition that you guys are working with.
You know, we compete against really international companies. We compete against worldwide trading companies. We compete against very large publicly traded companies. But one of the things that we do best is that we have a very small management group. We're very responsive, and we're able to react to our customers' needs, we feel, and I think it's been proven out by our success, much faster than our competitors. So in an industry where it's important to have just-in-time delivery and to have the relationships with your customer to make sure that they get the steel when they need it, we think we're better than anyone else at doing that.
So within the larger picture of the Block Steel Corporation and the manufacturing, there are a lot of factors that go into finding success, but there are also a lot of supporters that come into, you know, helping you along the way. Associated Bank has been one of those supporters as well. So explain a little bit the role that Associated Bank plays within the larger business.
You know, having a banking relationship like we have with Associated actually is really critical. We have a lot of situations where we need to kind of make special deals on the purchasing side because there may be opportunities to get a large quantity of steel that we would need for a large customer. As a perfect example is I just set a contract with a customer for 2020. In order to make that contract work, I had to buy a very large quantity of steel from a steel mill to sort of sustain us through most of the 2020. That obviously creates large financial needs. Associated understands those needs that we have to have on our regular basis, or actually on an irregular basis, I should say. And they've been able to be very responsive in understanding of the fluctuations of our inventory and the needs that we have to sustain our business in situations like that.
When people think of manufacturing, it's hard not to think of the tariffs that come with the manufacturing right now. So give us an idea as to how you guys overcome that kind of a hurdle within the larger industry.
Well, that actually was another situation which just came up in that some of the material we purchase, we have to buy from Europe, and it's not made in the United States. And although we felt that we would eventually get exclusions from tariffs because the material we purchase is not made in the United States, we had for a pretty extended period of time have to pay tariffs. And we paid a considerable amount of tariffs over a relatively short period of time that we had to absorb that basically into the cost of our material. And that's another way that Associated and our relationship with them has helped us, because they understood the needs and how that would raise the cost of our inventory on a short-term basis. And we have now gotten the exclusions that we need, so we've got that material, that cost returned from the government, and rightfully so. But that's another example of actually how Associated has helped us.
Sure. It comes back to that relationship aspect.
Exactly.
You mentioned that your third generation, your father and your grandfather, were running things a while ago, and now you're here running the shop, making sure everything is running smoothly. So talk to us a little bit about the importance of the family business aspect to everything.
Well, one of the things that we really like about Associated is that it's a regional bank, and we found that dealing with them, they have a pretty good understanding of what our needs are, and that a larger bank, when I say more of a national or even international bank, wouldn't have. They're Midwest based, and I think that helps in building up the relationship that we have and the understanding of how we have to do our business and how we treat our customers. That, going back to what I said earlier, how we spoil our customers in a way. And I think Associated has come to understand that. And part of that is because we have this, like, really good relationship with them. And I think we're treated by Associated like we're, like, really important. And I think we are really important. But we didn't always get that from historical banking relationships. And that is something that obviously is very important, especially in this financial environment.
What are some things that are on your radar that you're looking forward to, you know, as you continue to move forward?
You know, Block Steel has not saturated the market. So we certainly have still opportunities to prove to customers that we don't currently have that we are the better opportunity, the better sourcing than what they have currently. And so those opportunities are always presenting themselves, and I'm always working on that.
Right. Always have to keep up with the changing times. I imagine you're tuned in to everything within the larger automotive companies.
Correct.
And, you know, keeping an ear to the ground, if you will, as far as what's
Correct.
Next.
Correct. So, for instance, a lot of the high-end appliances that you see in kitchens, ranges, as an example, a lot of that is still manufactured in the United States, and that's there's a lot of market potential there for us.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for having us here today out in Skokie at the Block Steel Corporation. We appreciate you taking the time to join us and tell us a little bit about the family business.
Well, thank you very much, Bennett. I appreciate that.
It's Building Business Around Town, sponsored by Associated Bank, Block Steel Corporation. You can find them online at blocksteel.com.
You're listening to the opening bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, a market weakness this morning all around the world. In London, off by nearly 1%. In Germany and France, off more than 1%. Nearly 1.5% now. A down day in Asia. And markets are pointing toward a weak open on Wall Street as well here in the United States. Dow futures are off nearly 0.25% this morning. NASDAQ futures off nearly 1/3. Let's get the update on agriculture and commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The markets yesterday, not much movement in the agricultural trade, despite the fact that the China-U.S. trade situation was discussed at the United Nations. But at the end of the day, we saw December wheat down 2.25 cents at the Board of Trade. But at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, spring wheat rallied to the highest level since mid-June. Back at the Board of Trade in Chicago, December corn up 2.5 cents for the day. November soybeans only up 0.75 cents for the day. Turning to livestock trade, cattle futures hit multi-week highs on flat to higher cash trade expectations, touching 6-week highs, and feeder cattle better than 7-week highs, as traders projected that cash prices will remain steady or rise after strengthening last week. The October live cattle contract gained 47 cents a hundredweight, but October feeder cattle gained 65 cents a hundredweight, and December live hogs were up 82 cents a hundredweight. Another export sale of a U.S. farm product yesterday. Exporters sold 200,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to Mexico during the current marketing year. And at the United Nations, President Trump said he hopes that China's trade practices on Tuesday will change. He criticized the trade practices of China, saying it's what he called China's unfair trade policies, embracing an economic model dependent on massive market barriers, heavy state subsidies, currency manipulation, and other ingredients that he said, as far as America is concerned, those days are over. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. Now let's update the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for Wednesday, September the 25th. New home sales for August are due out this morning. Housing industry analysts see sales recovering some of the ground they lost in July. The forecast is for an annual rate of about 666,000. That's a gain of more than 5%. New home sales leading things off this morning, first off out of the economic gate. Also today, the Mortgage Bankers Association has weekly mortgage applications. We'll also see the State Street Investor Confidence Index, the EIA Petroleum Status Report, is due out. A couple of Fed speakers as well, including Charles Evans, Esther George, among those speaking on monetary policy today. And on the earnings calendar, a couple of companies reporting earnings today, including Feral Gas Partners, KB Home, Pier 1 Imports, and Worthington Industries Incorporated. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Wednesday, September the 25th.